Today's shiur is Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mashim, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Shalosh Yeinos Hein. The three categories of wine, when we speak about, as we have been, Yain Nesach, Stem Yainam. Yain Nesach, and when we speak about Yain Nesach, which means wine that has been actually used Avodah Zarah, Os Bahano, one may not have benefit from Yain Nesach, Metame Tumah Chamura B'Kazayis, and it's considered Tumah Chamura, a high level of Tumah, meaning that if somebody carries the Tumah, or somebody carries Yain Nesach, if somebody walks into the room under the same oil as Yain Nesach, he becomes Tamei. The halach is that this is not just Metama Oichlin or Mashkin foods, but it's Metama Odin V'Kalim, people and vessels, at the shear of a Kazayis. And the Rishonim ask, a Kazayis is a measurement of a solid, and wine is a liquid. So why, when the Gemara speaks about Yayin, does it speak about a kazayis and not a revis? So the Rishonim answer, as we've learned in the previous year, since Yayin Nesach is compared to Takrovis Avodah Zarah, Takrovis Avodah Zarah, which is a carbon for Avodah Zarah, is a food with the shear of it is a kazayis. Since our Gemara is trying to point out that Yayin Nesach is in that category, that's why the Gemara phrases that the amount of wine, of Yain Nesach, that's Metameh, and Metameh B'Kazayis. Stam Yainam, two explanations of what Stam Yainam are. Either it's wine that a guy, that we took from an Akum, and we're not sure, did he or did he not pour this wine for Avodah Zarah, or if it's the wine of a Yisrael that's not Mavushal, as we discussed in the previous year, that was touched by an Akum. The halach is that wine is also Bahanah. It's also not. It's interesting to point out that we've been learning already from the Mishnah and from the previous year that the halach is that Stam Yainam is also Bahanah, and that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Ramah paskins that since nowadays the probability of any wine being poured for Avodah Zarah is highly unlikely, there is no the halach of Stam Yainam being also Bahanah is no longer applicable. It's certainly also to drink or eat that wine, but it's not osa b'hanah, which is a very relevant lalach l'may. So let's say somebody owns a liquor store, a wine store, and he has wine that's not kosher. According to the Shulchan Aruch, he's not allowed to sell that wine. It's osa b'hanah. He's not allowed to benefit from that wine. According to Ramah, you are allowed to sell that wine. Interesting question that I saw that the Paiskim discuss. Let's say there's such a shop, and it's owned by an Ashkenazi Jew, which based on, he follows the psak of the Ramah, he's allowed to sell such wine. But he has a worker who's a Sfardi, who has to follow the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Is the Sfardi allowed to work in that wine store? Is it considered lifnei iver when he's helping his employer, benefit from wine, which according to him is also b'hanah? Umetamet tumas mashkin b'revius. Here too we have a machloikus rishonim. What is Pshat Metama Tumas Mashkin Brevius? Rashi's opinion is that if the Gemara is teaching us that this wine has a din like all beverages, that if a sheretz touches this beverage, it becomes Tamei, that it has the ability to be Metama Oichlin or Mashkin, not Odin V'Kalim, like any other beverage that was touched by a sheretz. According to Rashi, famous machlokus of Rashi and Taisvis, even for Mashkin to obtain Tuma, you have to have a revius. Taisvis disagrees. Taisvis says that Mashkin can become Tuma even if you have a smaller amount. But in order for Mashkin to pass on Tuma, to transmit Tuma, you have to have at least a revius. But there are other Rishonim that have a different pshat in this Gemara. Because if this is, there's a fundamental difficulty with this pshat. If the Gemara is teaching us that they're like all other liquids, So why do I need the Gemara to say so? Why should they be any different? So they explain that Stam Yenom, even though it isn't at the high level of Tumah that we just described that Yai Nesach has, but it does have some level of Tumah, and it's considered like liquid that was touched by a Sheretz. Now we know that liquid that was touched by a Sheretz has a level of Tumah. The third type of wine is Hamafka Yenom Eitzlaib Chavim. If somebody leaves his wine by an Akum, he may not drink that wine, but he may benefit from that wine. Ask the Gemara, how could that be so? The Mishnah says, if someone leaves his fruit by an Akum, they're considered to have the status of Peiros of an Akum, L'Shvius Ulamaiser. If we have to be concerned, says the Mishnah Masechta Demai, that if Yisrael left his fruit at the home of the Akum, that the Akum likes the Yisrael's fruit, produce better than his, we have to be concerned that he'll exchange his produce, take the Yisrael's produce, and replace it with his own produce. And as the Mefarshim explained, this Mishnah Masechta Demai is following the opinion that Ein Kinyan L'Akum, an Akum does not have ownership in property in Eretz Yisrael, Lafgibedei Shvius, Lafgibedei Meiser, to exempt the property from Shvius and Meiser. So the Akum's produce has the same din as the Yisrael's produce, and of course the Akum didn't take Meiser, and of course the Akum wasn't careful about Shemitah, and therefore we have to treat it that way. So why are we saying that if we left this wine by the Akum, it's Mutter Ba'ano, why should we not be concerned that he replaced our wine with his wine? Answers the Gemara, that the Akum left a special place in the house designated for that he's leaving the Yisrael's wine there. And as we're going to see soon in the Gemara, and that property is either under the lock and key of Yisrael, or there's a chaisim, there's a seal that can't be tampered with. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. Why can't the Jew even drink that wine if that's the circumstance? Isn't the halacha, as the Gemara says, the Rav Yochanan ikel leparvid? Rav Yochanan came to the city of Parvid. Omer klum yesh mishnas bakapara. He said, bakapara was the Rav in the city. Does anybody remember something that bakapara taught them? Tanerlei Rav Tanchum de Minparvid, so Rav Tanchum who lived in that city said that the halacha is, if somebody leaves his wine by an Akum, muta b'shtiya, he could even drink it. And Karelei, and when Rabbi Yochanan heard this report, in this halacha that was said in the name of Bakapara, he said the pasuk in Kehelis, Makum sheyipala eitz, Sham Yehei. He says the Marasal, Kedakta Sham Yehei, El Sham Yehei Peroisav. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. That if a Talmud Chacham lives in a city, even if the Talmud Chacham is no longer there, we could assume that the Talmud Chacham left over said halachas, said drushes, and the people of the city remember what he said. So if you want to know what the Talmud Chacham said, ask the people who live there and they'll be able to report it to you. And that's what the Gemara says. Sham Yehei. Is he still there? Bakapar is no longer alive. Sham Yehei Sakadaitech, El Sham Yehei Peroisav. His halachas that he taught us remain there because the people who heard his shiurim remember. Actually, I saw two very beautiful pshatim in this pasuk. We know, Rashi and Chumash, it's a medrash, quotes, the pasuk says, Yaakovinu Lameis. Yaakovinu never died. Mal Zara Bechayim, his descendants are alive, Afhu Bechayim. And that's what the pasuk here is teaching us the same. That the Peraisov, the Talmidim, the children of this Talmud Chacham, since they remain alive, Sham Yehei Peraisov, if his Peraisov are alive, Sham Yehei, then he is still there too. But then I saw a very interesting pshat. The Beis Yosef says in Hilchos Talmidim a very interesting episode. He says from, I guess it was a Rishon, Menachem Rikant, told him the following. He said he had a guest whose name was Reb Yitzchak, who slept over at his home on Sukkos. And this Rabbi Yitzchak wakes up in the morning and he tells Rabbi Nachum Merkant he had a very interesting dream. His dream was that he was writing the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he wrote the letters Yud Hei Vav, and then he left a space and wrote the letter Hei. He doesn't understand what the dream means. So Rabbi Nachum Merkant tells him, I'll tell you what the dream means. The halach is, we know that it's Sukkos. You're supposed to take the lulav in your right hand, the esrig in your left hand, but the halach is you're supposed to keep the two of them together. And what you were doing is that you were keeping the lulav and the esrig separate. People like to do it because they don't want to ruin their esrig when it rubs against the lulav. So it's like writing the Shem Hashem. The lulav, we have three minim, yud kei vav, and the esrig is the hay, and you kept it separate. And that was what they were telling you, Mishmaim, that you did wrong. So Mepharshim say that's what this pasuk is teaching us. We know that the dalam minim are peirosov. They all represent different things that grow. Let's look at the word. Let's look at the pasuk. Maka sheyipal eitz sham yehay. The word yehay is spelled yud hey vav. It's missing the last letter. What's the lesson? To teach us that when you take the peirosov, when you take the dalam minim, make sure that you don't only have three. Make sure that you have all four together because you have to keep the esrig and lulav next to each other. But we're back to our question. Our Gemara taught us that if you mafkid peirosov eitz la nachri, you're allowed to benefit from that. You mafkid your wine by the nachri, you're allowed to benefit. Just not drink. And here we learned that you're allowed to even drink it. Answers the Gemara. I'm Rav Zeh Loikasha. Hara Beleza Hara Bonin. This is actually Machlokas Tanuam. The Tanya. Echra Loikeach. Vechra Soich Bais Bechatzeri Shechaveroi. Whether you rent or you lease property by an Akum. Or Meloi Yayin. And you fill up that property, you use it as a warehouse for your wine. Or Mafteach Achaisim Yisrael. And the key to that property. Or there's a seal. Rav Elazar Matir Vechacham Maistrim. So Rav Yochanan, Rav Bakapara represents the opinion of Rav Elazar, and the Rav Yehuda follows the opinion of the Chachamim. Amr Rav Chiya Bereid, Rav Chiya Bar Nachmeni, Amr Rav Chizda, Amr Rav, Vamalei Amr Rav Chizda, Amr Ziri, Vamalei Amr Rav Chizda, Amali Bar Chama, Hochi Amr Ziri, the Loch Rav Elazar. That if you mafkid peirosov, you could have, it's good enough, and you have a chosim or mafteach, you could even drink the wine. Amr Rabbi Lazar, Hakol Mishtamer B'chot Chaisim Echot. Everything can be protected with one seal. Chutz Menayayin, except for wine. Shem Mishtamer B'chaisim Echot. Where one Chaisim is not adequate. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afil Yayin Mishtamer B'chaisim Echot. Even wine, one Chaisim is enough. Says the Gemara V'loi Pligi. There is no machlokes here between Rabbi Yochanan, this is the way Tosfos explains. There is really no machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Hak Rabbi Elazar, Hak Rabbanan. One, the opinion that holds you need two chaisamis follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. And that's what Rabbi Elazar, the Amoira, is explaining the opinion of the Tanner Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Yochanan is explaining the opinion of the Rabbanan, where chaisam echad is enough. Ikadamri. Amr Belozer, Hakam Shtam Bechoysim Taychoysim. Normally you need two seals. Chutman Yayin, Shem Shtam Bechoysim Taychoysim, where two seals are not enough. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afil Yayin Shtam Bechoysim Taychoysim. You need a double seal. Vetavayu Krabonin. They're both arguing in the opinion of Rabbonin. Mas of a key plea Rabbonin Ledger Belozer Bechoysim Echot. Al Bechoysim Taychoysim Shari. Even Rabbi Elazar will agree. Masava fil b'toyisim b'toychoysim asri. It's not going to be good enough. A few points that the Rishonim discuss. One question is, if Rabbi Elazar is not satisfied with the concept of yayin b'toych beis shalakum, he feels that we have to be concerned. So why are any seals enough? So Rishonim explain. It's not that Rabbi Elazar disregards the fact that you're yachad like Karen Zavis, and that you have a mafteich or a chaisim. It just holds it's not enough to be matter the yayin b'shtiyah, but it is enough to be matter the yayin b'hano to permit you to have benefit from that wine. But then Taisus and other Rishonim ask, we all know the halacha, we're going to learn the halacha at great length in Mitzvah Shem in this parak. that wine, everybody agrees, needs shtei chesamis, two seals. Yet here, according to the first version, according to Rabbanan, one seal is enough. How do we understand this Gemara when we're going to learn explicitly that you need two chesamis? So I saw three answers to this question. There are probably more than three answers. We're going to repeat three answers. One answer is, as the Gemara will perhaps indicate, according to one opinion, the only time you need two chesamis is by Yisrael, who isn't religious. By an Akum, one chesam is enough. And our Gemara is following that opinion. Another teretz is that we always have to remember that it's a mafkid, that I left my wine by this Akum, and the Akum understands that I have the right to come inspect my wine. So even though perhaps normally two chesamis are required, the fact that I was mafkid allows one chesam to be adequate. A third teretz is, again, under normal circumstances, two chesamis are required. But here it's not just that the wine is in the hands of the Akum. As the Gemara itself says, it's yichud like Karen Zavis, the Yisrael has a mafteich or a chesam, the Yisrael has a mafteich to that place. So given all these other circumstances, it mitigates that you don't need to have two seals, one seal is enough. Ask the Gemara, heichi dami chesam tai chesam. And as the Me'iri explains the Gemara's question, the Gemara's question, says the Me'iri, is not to try to explain what two seals look like. The Gemara's question is a deeper question. What is the minimum amount that would be considered two seals? Of course, if you have two seals are two seals. That's very obvious what two seals are. The Gemara wants to identify what kind of situations where it doesn't necessarily look like two seals, yet the halacha is that that's considered like a situation of chaysim tai chaysim. Hechidami chaysim tai chaysim. Amar Rava, agna de puma de chavita, sarika, if v'chsima have a chaysim tai chaysim. Which means as follows. You have the barrel of wine. You take a barrel and you put it on top of the barrel of wine. But it's not just you take the barrel and you put it on top of the barrel of the wine. You connect it, you cement it on you to that barrel. So the fact that the upper barrel is cemented onto the barrel of wine, that's considered chaysim b'tai chaysim. Number one, the fact that it's sealed on or glued on, coupled with the fact that you have the second barrel, that's your double seal. V'loy, if you don't have this, loy, it won't be considered a double seal. Another situation, the kula mahadik, if you take a cloth and you connect it onto the barrel, have a chaysim b'tai chaysim. That's considered a double seal. What's the difference, asked the Rishonim, between this example and the previous example? So they explain, in the previous example, you did not have, and this is relevant, l'aloch l'maisa, you did not have something sealing the cover of the barrel to the barrel. So you have to rely on the seal of the barrel that you put on top of the barrel. In this case, the opening of the barrel was sealed with a cork. So that's the first chaysim. And now this cloth is the second chaysim. Viloy the kula mahadik. Viloy mahadik, if it's not connected, loy v'chaysim to chaysim. These two examples that we just spoke about were in a situation of a barrel. And the Rishonim say in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that we have to be careful, again, it's not that relevant in our world, but it have to be careful when you're dealing with a barrel that's made out of slats, that wine should not be able, that the Akum should not be able to get wine from between the slats that make up the barrel. Because then, even if you have a good cover on top, you haven't accomplished anything. But again, as I said, these two examples were regarding a situation where the wine is in a barrel. As we're going to learn quite extensively in this parak, it was very common for them to store wine in leather flasks. And now the Gemara is going to give examples how when you have the wine in a leather flask, you could have a situation of a chaysim b'tai chaysim, a double seal. Noid b'tiskia. If you have the flask in which you have the wine in another pouch, chsimus piv lamata av chaysim b'tai chaysim, piv lamala loy av chaysim b'tai chaysim. The easiest way to explain is as follows. You have a knot that closes this pouch. And now you put the pouch into another bag. And you t- tied out on top of it with another knot. So you have one knot right on top of another knot, which is really essentially a double knot. Since both knots are right on top of each other, that's only considered one chaisim. For the two knots to be considered two chaisimis, they have to be in different places, going in different directions. Then it's considered double chaisim. Another example, v'kikaya pum legav v'tzai v'chosim, if there's a knot in one direction, and on the other side you have a seal, again, in a leather pouch, that would be considered chosim tachosim, a double seal. Continues the Gemara. Word of introduction. We've learned in our perek, we've learned in our shiur many times about the kutim. Our Gemara at this point is assuming that the kutim are geri emes. And the fact that a kuti touches the wine of Yisrael doesn't prohibit the wine. However, even though the Gemara is following the opinion that kutim are geri emes, they weren't careful with maga akum. They weren't careful to make sure that the wine wasn't touched by an akum. And therefore, says the Gemara, Mushayna Vayoyimim, Yain She'en Kushi, if there's wine of a kuti from the town of En Kushi, Osir, we have to consider that wine Stam Yenam. Why? When they Bira Sarika. This city of En Kushi was right next to the city of Bira Sarika, which was a city of Akum. So since there was so many akum near this wine, we have to be concerned that the akum touched the wine. The same thing, the wine of the kutim from this town of Bakasir, we have to consider Stam Yainam, Nekfar Pashoy, because it's right next to the city of Kfar Pashoy, which is a city of Akum. Vashal Zagdur, the wine of the kutim from the city of Zagdur, also Nekfar Sholem, is also because of the Akum that live in Kfar Sholem, which is right next door. Chazru Loimer, then they paskin, Chavis Psuchas Asorus, the barrels that are wine that are open are osur, stumrais, mukaris. But if they're closed, then they're mutter no matter what. Ask the Gemara, what changed? Mikar my sover, lopsoif my sover. Answer the Gemara, mikar sover, in kuti magav kakovim. As we explained, that even if the kutim are geri emes, they're not careful to make sure that the akum don't touch the wine. And therefore, loishna psuchas, loishna stumas. Doesn't make a difference if it's open or closed. Since there is so many akum around, and the kuti is not careful to make sure that the akum doesn't touch it, that prohibits all of the wine of the kuti. But then they realized, kila kapid, when is the kuti not careful as psuchas on opal barrels? There he's not careful to make sure that the akum doesn't touch it. As tumas makbid, he's careful, and therefore, vestumas mataris, closed barrel of the kuti, even if they live in a vicinity where their akum remain mutter. Ask Tois was the obvious question. No barrel starts closed. Every barrel is open. You fill the barrel, and after you fill the barrel, you close it. So every stumas was once psuchas. And if we're saying that psuchas is asur, how will we ever have a case that it's mutter? So Tois was explained what the Gemara means as follows. The Gemara doesn't mean that the barrel started off closed. No barrel starts off closed. But the Gemara means is if the kuti's intention is to close this barrel, what does he want to do by closing the barrel? He wants to be able to sell this wine to Yisraelim. And he knows that Yisraelim will not buy the wine if it was touched by an akum. So if he intends to seal this barrel, even when it's psuchis, since his ultimate intention is to close it, that's why it's mutaris. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed the halacha? That stumas mutaris, that closed barrels are mutar? Rimini, it says in a brisa, Hashaleich Chavishal Yain Biyat Kuti, if somebody sends a barrel of wine in the hands of a kuti, Vishal Tzir, as we're going to learn, fish brine of somebody who we don't trust is also, if it's in the hands of an akum. Why? Because we have to be concerned that he took non-kosher fish to make the brine. Over Shamurius, which many times they would add wine into the Morius, as we learned and well learned. And we have to be concerned that they put non-kosher wine into the Morius. Hashleicha v'shal yayim b'yad kuti, v'shal tzir v'shal Morius b'yad av t'kachavim, im maka choysme v'sois moi. If you could recognize the seal, it's mutter, im lav osur. So we see that the wine by a kuti is osur. So how are we saying that stumais by the kuti is mutter? Amrezer lo kasha. Can be ear, can be derech. In the city where the kuti is concerned, therefore we could be more lenient. On the road, where the kuti is not that concerned that he's going to be caught, we have to be stricter. But this wording of the Gemara, emakar choismoy v'soismoy mutter, which is really, as the Rishonim explain, a basic definition, and here we have the Rishonim, a big machlokas Rishonim, what is the definition of makar choismoy v'soismoy, emakar choismoy v'soismoy, to define what is considered a halachically acceptable seal. There are three opinions in the Rishonim. One opinion in the Rishonim, Tosfos' opinion, the most lenient opinion, is if it has any seals, that's good enough. Other Rishonim say a seal is only a seal where you could tell if it was tampered with. So if the seal, if it was tampered with, you would be able to determine that it was the tamper. When you get that item, you see that the seal was tampered with, then the seal is considered a valid seal. But if the seal could be tampered with and you'll never know the difference, it's not a kosher seal. And a third opinion is that even that is not good enough. The person receiving the item, the barrel, as we're discussing, with a seal on it, has to know beforehand what seal to look for. And then be able to say, this is what I'm supposed to be looking for, and this is what it has. But if he doesn't know what to look for, it's not considered a kosher seal. Maskel Rav Yochanan, made a hanach the ear, asked the Gemara, we said that in the city, it's no problem, because the kuti is concerned, he's going to get caught. On the road, he's not that careful. So again, asked the Gemara, how did the wine barrels get to the city? They have to be transported somehow. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand it is as follows. Ben Akita Shininu, we're talking about the time when the wine is pressed. Kivin the Kula Alma Frimersis. Even if the wine is not in the city, it's in the wine press, but during the season, when the wine is pressed, and there are a lot of people at the wine press, the kuti is concerned that since so many people are there, and so many people may catch him, that's why he's more concerned, and that's why it's mutter. Continues the Gemara. Itma. Why is the beer of Ovdei Kochavim asur? So as Tosfos points out, interestingly, that there is no Mishnah Braisa, says Tosfos, that beer of an Akum is asur. Says Tosfos, this gzeira of beer must have come later on, in the time of the Meroim. It's going to be important to keep that in mind as we discuss Halach Lemaisa, of what is the din of beer. Before we go further, the Pesukim all discuss, and this is a very relevant question, how is beer made? You have barley and water, and you cook it up, and you get beer. So why isn't it usher because of Bishlakim? The cooking of the hops with the water should be Bishlakim. Where is this question extremely relevant? Coffee. If an Akum makes coffee, why isn't Bishlakim? If he adds coffee to your water and then he boils the water, you have, or even if he doesn't do it that way, he boils the water and then he pours it onto the coffee, it should be considered Bishlakim. So therefore the Pesukim ask Agmar, as we're going to learn, has a discussion about beer. Why are we worried about a special gzeira on beer? It should be us because of Bishlakim. So the Teretz, the most, there are, for the record, some Achroinim, I think it's the Retvaz, that are machmer on beer and on coffee, that perhaps there would be a question of Bishlakim. It's not the psak that most Pesukim accept. Dr. Tshuva, if one wants to look, you can look at Dr. Tshuva, has a very long discussion on this question. The heter that most Pesukim rely on is the fact that the bracha that we make. What bracha do we make on beer? We make a shahakal. If the barley were considered the main ingredient, barley is a mezainis. What bracha do we make in coffee? We make a shahakal. Coffee is a bean. We should make a hadama. So the fact that we make a shahakal is a clear indication that what is the main ingredient? The water. Water, as we're going to learn, actually, in this parak, we're going to learn the halachas of Bishlakim is not subject to the isser of Bishlakim, and that's considered the main ingredient. This is just a flavoring to the water, and therefore there's no isser of Bishlakim. Others say, which I'm not sure if that's the reality, that if the water were to absorb the coffee, then perhaps the coffee bean, perhaps it would be. The water doesn't absorb the coffee bean. The coffee bean just gives flavor to the water. So you're really just drinking water, and therefore by water, as I said a moment ago, there is no issa bishlakim. There are others that say, but we can't say it certainly by coffee, and even by grain, that in those days it was common to eat grain, to chew on grain. The Gemara Masechta Brachos discusses hakoisis. Somebody chews grain. And therefore, the Paiskim want to say that since grain is nech k'moshu chai, there is no issa bishlakim. It's a hetter that we couldn't rely on because I don't think anybody eats raw grain. So again, says the Gemara, itmem neima osu sheikh shalai de kachavim, ramba chamar meyitzog mishim chasnas. There's a concern that if we come to drink beer with them, we come to intermarriage. Rav Nachman amem mishim gluyu. We're concerned, as we discussed in the previous share at length, that the water was left exposed and the snake might have left venom in it and becomes a sakana. Ask the Gemara gluyu demai. What gilui are we concerned about? That if we're concerned that the barrel that they made the beer in was left open, the barrel that it's left stored in, we leave that barrel also open. It's referring to a situation, we discussed this in the previous year, where they take water and they filter water. How did they filter the water in those days? What they did was they took water, they drew the water, they let it sit for a day or two, that the sediment all settle, and then they poured it through a filter. The matzlamayim asked the Gemara, if the concern is gilui, el mati yoshin tishtri, dom rav yoshin mutun, if you have old beer, it obviously was not exposed to any snake venom. Because had there been any snake venom deposited here, eina ma'anichal yashin, it would not allow this to ferment. Hechmetz mutter, eina ma'anichal hachza. So therefore, if we did see that this beer fermented, it turned into alcoholic beverage, isn't that a clear indication that there's no venom? Answers the Gemara, k'seiru yashin atachadosh. You're right. Truthfully, old beer, if the concern is gilui, should be mutter. But the reason Chazal said it's Osir is because we're going to have beer that didn't get old. The deer is a concern that maybe the snake deposited venom. And as we learned in the previous year, Chamira Sakanta Miyasura, whenever there's a question of Sakana, we take a very strict approach. And therefore, all beer is Osir, even beer that we have no concern that there's any snake venom in. Interestingly enough, we learned in the Mishnah, we're going to discuss it in the later in the parak, that Gvinas Akam is Osir. And one of the reasons that the Gemara says that Gvinas Akum is Osir is because Giluye, because they leave the milk exposed. So if the concern by Sheikher is the same concern as by cheese, so the Mishnah should have put these two rules together. So say the Rishonim, it must be that the man, the Omer, that holds that Gvinas Akum is Osir because Giluye does not hold that Sheikher is Osir because of Giluye, he's going to have to hold that Sheikher is Osir because of Chasnas. Says the Gemara, Rapapa, when he got beer from an Akum, Mefikin Leila Baba de Chanusa, he would bring the beer to the door of the store, Vishasi, and that's where he would drink it. Rav Achi, Mais Leila Beisei, they would bring it home, be careful not to drink the beer at the place of the Akum, but Tavayu, Vishab Chasnas. And they both were concerned about intermarriage, and therefore you don't drink it in the place of the Akum, we can be more makel. Says the Gemara, Rav Achi of the Chek Yisrael, he was even more careful. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Babisna Ikla Magvan. Rav Shmuel Babisna came to the city of Magvan. Isolei Chamra, they brought him wine, Vlai Ishtin, he refused to drink it. Isolei Shikra, Vlai Ishtin. Asked the Gemara, Bishlam Chamra, we could understand why he didn't drink the wine, Mishum Shimtza, because we're learning that Stam Yenam is Osir. A shikra mishamai. Why didn't he drink shikra? Answers the Gemara, mishum shimtza de shimtza. Wine, beer is also because of wine, and wine is also, stam yenim is also because of chasnas. It's all one gzeir, the Rishonim say. Amar of, hai shikra der amor, shor. Armini, before we go further, so the Gemara is paskening that you're not allowed to drink beer of an akum. So the Rishonim discuss, is this refer to all beer or only the beer of the time of Chazal? Because as we know from our Shiurim, in the time of Chazal, they didn't really make beer the way we make beer. We make beer, as I discussed a moment ago, out of hops. They used to make beer out of dates. So the question is, when Chazal acid beer, did they acid beer? It makes no difference out of what it's made. Or did Chazal specifically acid beer made out of tamarim? Most Rishonim are of the opinion it's not specifically beer made out of tamarim. It's anything that they drink, anything that you drink. And therefore, the Rambam paskins, the one is now allowed to sit in a base over kachovim, base of an akum, and drink beer. Tosfos, however, says that let's say, question comes up, let's say you're renting a room in a hotel or in an inn that's owned by an akum. Apparently, they used to drink a lot of beer. Are you allowed to drink beer there? So Tosfos says two heterim. One heter Tosfos says is that if you're renting a room there, it's considered like a Beis Yisrael. Another Tosfos says there's a concern of Eivah. If you're not going to drink the beer when the Akum invites you to drink the beer, we have a concern of Eivah. And since it's clear in our Gemara that Eivah is not, that beer is, as Tosfos said earlier, a later Gzeira, we could be a little more lenient with this issue about beer. However, Ramosha, I saw in a tshuva based on this Gemara, says that you have to be very careful that let's say there's a cause. We have different causes that we want to raise money for. And there's an akum that's prepared to help us. And he's prepared to make a parlor meeting in his home, and drinks will be served. That's contrary, exactly contrary to our Gemara, that says you're not allowed to drink sheker, yayin, and even if it's kosher wine, in the home of an akum, and you should avoid having such an event. Avoid having such a function. Furthermore, the Rishonim and Achronim discuss, we've discussed the issue of Pasakum. And Pasakum, we're going to learn also, is Usur. It's not as serious as Bishlakum. The halacha is the Pasakum is a gzair that we weren't makabel. Seres Mechuva, you're not supposed to eat Pasakum. You're supposed to try to avoid eating Pasakum all year round. But the Isra Pasakum is for chasnas. So the question is, why, if we're saying that Sheikha is also because of chasnas, and Pass is also because of chasnas, why do we find that we're more lenient with Sheikha than we are with Pass? So the first teretz is the Tosfos that I quoted earlier, because Pass is already a gzeir from the Mishnah, as we're going to learn. Sheikha, Tosfos said, is only a gzeir that came in the times of Meroim, so it's not a serious gzeir. Another teretz that they say is that bread, alalachem levada yichya adam, bread is considered a staple food item. Beer is not considered a staple food item, I hope, for most people. And therefore, we don't have to treat beer as seriously as bread. Another teretz is that typically the people who would make the bread were women. Women are expert bakers. So our concern is chasnas. So if you're going to come into a baker who's a non-Jewish woman and you're going to develop a relationship with her because you're buying bread, so the concern of chasnas is great. Beer makers were not typically noshim, and therefore the concern of chasnas is less than it is by pas. Says the Gemara. Amarav, hay shikra dar mor shori. The sheikh of Akum is mutter. However, b'chir b'ri lo nishtamine. My son chir should not drink from it. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand what Rav is saying. Monoshok. Ish shori, if it's permitted, l'kul alma shori, then everybody should be allowed to drink it. And the osur, l'kul alma asur, says the Gemara. El Rav Sover, Rav says that the Isra of beer is Mishum Galuya, that we learned before that they left the water uncovered. The Azul, Merura the Kishusa, however, as the Gemara said before, if you allow the beer to ferment, that, the haps, Kolei Zahari, the Dalkal Milkalei, the haps burn up the effect of the venom. However, Choy V'chiburi, Choy V'loki, he's of weak constitution, Lainishtamine, even the slightest type of situation where there was venom in this water would adversely affect him. Amishmu, Kala Shrotzim Yeshla Eris. Truthfully, all Shrotzim have venom in them. Shanachish, however, the venom of a snake, Mamus, kills. Shashrotzim, Aina Mamus. The venom of Shrotzim doesn't kill. Amalei Shmuel Chiba Rav. Bar Arya, you great person. Tov emloch milsim al yisa, dava amarav uvuch. I want to repeat to you something your father used to say. Hocha amavuch, Hani Amizukanoi, that was Shasagluya. We have the old Armenian people that we say drink leftover beverages, Vloimaisu, and they don't die. And how come our Gemara, as we've been learning already for two shiurim, if you drink exposed beverage, you have to be concerned about the snake venom. Why don't we have to be concerned about the snake venom of why do we see that they drink it and there's no problem? Answers the Gemara. I did the Achli Shmatzer Moshim. Since the Akum each Katzer Moshim, Chavul Gafai, their bodies already are affected, as we just learned, by that venom. So their body is already, so to speak, sort of accustomed to venom, and that's why that venom of the snake doesn't have such an effect on them. We, who don't eat Katzim Ramashim, have to be concerned. So Tosfos says that the Gemara says that the Gemara in Sechet Shabbos, Rabbi Kiva says that Jews also chavul gufayu. We also have our bodies all broken up because we're always worried about if we did the mitzvahs properly. So why is the Gemara saying that the Akum chavul gufayu and not the Yisraelim chavul gufayu? Answers Tosfos, yes, we both have a chavul gufayu. But it's a different chavul gufayu when you're worried about not being able to perform a mitzvah versus a chavul gufayu of shkatzim ramashim. But there's a fascinating chassam sofer based on this Gemara. Fascinating chassam sofer. The chassam sofer says that since our Gemara says that the bodies of Akum are so different than the bodies of Yisraelim, any medicine or medical procedure that's been proven to be effective, but it's only been proven to be effective for an Akum, we shouldn't do for Yisrael. Because since our Gemara teaches us, says the Chassam Sofer, that the bodies of Yisraelim are so very different than the bodies of the Akum, we can't rely on any medicine or any procedure that's been proven to be effective for them because we're so different. Continues the Gemara. I'm Rav Yosef. Hai chala the shikud ramah, osur. The vinegar of their beer is osur. The maravi bei the doy the nayin nesach. Because they used to add, why? Because they used to add sediment of wine, and since they add the sediment of wine, as we learned previously, the sediment of wine has a din of stam yenim. Amar v'ashi, umayitza shari, kivinda by masri sari, which means as follows. They only added the sediment, not into the barrel. Because if they left the sediment in the barrel will, that beer will get ruined. So if I see the akum taking the beer directly out of the barrel, I don't have to be worried that there was any wine in it. Furthermore, the Rishonim say, two more heterim. One heter is that if wine is more expensive than beer, then we don't have to be concerned that they put wine into the beer, because they're only doing it to save money, not if it's going to cost them more. And thirdly, which is a very important heter, the Rishonim say, that if the Akum has a reputation to protect, and it's going to be discovered that he adulterates his beer with wine sediment, his reputation will be ruined. We could also again rely that the beer is fine.